Blog Talk Radio.
From Denver Dog Works Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Call our studio line at 646-727-2978. The Dog Doctor is part of the WebNet Online Radio Network and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everyone. It is a beautiful Saturday morning here in Denver, Colorado at Denver Dog Works. My name is Robert Forto, and this is the Dog Doctor Radio Show, brought to you live by Denver Dog Works, where we have the best and train the rest. I am here today with two special guests. Of course, my co-host, wife, trainer extraordinaire, Michelle Forto, and a very special guest here today, Russell Louie, founder and owner of Optimum Choices, which is a holistic alternatives, canine massage business, healthy alternatives for your pets. And we're going to get into a very deep discussion with Mr. Louie about his business and things that he can offer your pets to make their life a little bit easier, especially for the elderly dogs. We had a very nice discussion over lunch this past week, and I was amazed about some of the testimonials he was telling me about his products that he has to offer. But as always, I want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up about what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. Next week is the big Furry Scurry. We have promoted that every week since we went on the air back in January. We are going to have a booth there at the Furry Scurry. The Furry Scurry, if you guys do not know, is a fundraiser for homeless pets put on by the Denver Dumb Friends League, which is a very large animal shelter here in Denver, Colorado, and they raise quite a bit of money every year for homeless pets by putting on this, I believe it is a 5K run walk with your pets, and you can come down and walk with your pet as well as visit what they're calling the flea market and see different types of booths and whatnot for products in relation to your pets. And of course, we always have a booth there, and this year we are going to have our first live remote for the Dog Doctor Radio Show, and we're also going to have a raffle for anybody that attends this event. And not only can you sign up for other classes and other events there at the Denver Dog Works booth, but we're going to be giving away iPod shuffles to people on that sign up on our raffle. And you may think, why in the world is a dog training school giving away iPod shuffles? Well, the reason that we're giving them away is the Dog Doctor Radio Show is promoted by podcast, and we are going to offer shuffles during this raffle so people can listen to the Dog Doctor Radio Show while they're out and about with their dogs. I thought it was a unique concept to offer to people that do sign up for our raffle. And come on down, put your name in the bowl, and we'll see if we can get you an iPod shuffle at the Dog Doctor Radio Show. I encourage anybody to come over to the booth and come on our show and be a guest. We're going to have just an open mic at this event, so we are going to talk about whatever's on people's mind, whether it be pet care, pet training, the event itself, question and answers, whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about. Remember, internet radio is an open forum, so we can talk just about anything you want. As I said, I'm here with Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Your mic faded out just a second there. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fine.
All right, we're good to go now. How are things here at Denver Dog Works?
They are great. We are gearing up for our summer, which means lots of sports and outdoor activities with our clients. And this year, we really are pushing those events. We're going to start getting out and about in the community and really taking Denver Dog Works on vacation, so to speak.
Well, you know, we just formed an agreement with Dogtopia Dog Daycare down in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and we are going to be offering classes down there on Thursday evenings and Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon is going to be dedicated to all of our sports down there. They have about a 100-yard soccer field down there, and we're going to offer many a sports for you and your dog. It's going to be something like no other, as we've talked about on this show and have promoted a little bit. The Snowcrest Canine Sports Association is going to get up and running here on May 1st, and that's going to be the place where we're going to do a lot of those events.
Right, and I want people to understand that it's a no-nonsense type of club. We're not about stressing you out and your dog out for performing in sports such as agility. We're talking about come out, give it a try. We teach foundation and how to get you started in these things, but by no means are we about full-fledged competition just yet. It's more about getting out there and trying something for the first time and having fun.
Some of the sports that we are going to offer are foundation agility, weight pulling, scootering, fly ball, rally, competition obedience.
Right, and our son Tyler will be on hand for anybody that's too afraid to go blading or biking with their dogs, and he'd be happy to show everybody how to do it. As we all know, he's our daredevil.
He's the daredevil, and I think it will be an interesting concept. There is no club here in Denver. There's no club in the region that offers anything like this where you can come out and be a member of this club and pretty much train whenever you want.
Right. I mean, it's about getting out there and having a central location for you and your dog to train, not just go hang out in the park and give me a call because your dog isn't behaving in the park or is doing some things that you find offensive. So it's about having a central place to train your dog. One of our clients that was from Texas kind of sparked the idea for us. She said down there in Texas they have clubs like that where you can just show up anytime. There's a trainer on hand. If you've got questions, great. If everybody wants to join in a group type of a setting, that's fine too. But it's really basically I'm going to come and work my dog in a central space that's neutral and no distractions as far as my home provides, but a place to work my dog. And if I'm having trouble with Sid, I've got a trainer right there at my disposal.
I think it's going to be great. A couple of other events. Also next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Mountain States Dog Training Club is having their annual obedience trial. We will be up there on Sunday. We got volunteered.
We did volunteer. We didn't get volunteered. We volunteered.
We volunteered to do the hospitality booth up there, which is pretty much giving out all the snacks and the drinks and probably doing a little bit of...
No stewardship this year?
No stewardship.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We get a meet and greet a little bit more people, and I like that.
I think that'll be fun. And then the following weekend is the obedience seminar put on by Mountain States. And June 20th, the big goose chase event put on by Mark Crowley's Greenwood Village Chamber of Commerce. I am very much looking forward to that. That is Saturday, June 20th, the first day of summer, and I hope to have a live remote there as well. I don't know what Mark's going to be doing, but I doubt he can be behind the control booth here turning knobs like he always does here at Denver Dog Works. He will probably be pretty busy that day, so maybe he can teach me a thing or two between now and then so I can do this myself. I don't know. So we'll see. I'm anxious to take part in that event, and that'll be fun. And, of course, July 3rd, Red, White, and You Festival over in Clement Park and a couple of other events later in the summer so we can get out there and meet people and show them what dog training is all about. All right, so you are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of the WebNet Online Radio Network. We are here live at Denver Dog Works. I am here today with a special guest, Russell Louie from Optimum Choices. Russell, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Great to have you here on a Saturday. It's not easy to drag somebody in here on a Saturday morning when they'd be rather cutting their lawn or doing something else. So I'm glad you're here today, Russell. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the meat of this discussion.
Sure. Optimum Choices is an internet company. We sell holistic products. My wife is a canine massage provider, and we do holistic consultations. We were originally founded in about 2002. We've been in business about 7 years now, and we help our owners and guardians with their holistic challenges.
Okay, all right. And what exactly does holistic mean for people that may or may not know what that is?
Well, it's kind of a misconception because now holistic means anything natural out there, where to me, I've lived a holistic lifestyle for almost 57 years now, and just because something is natural does not mean it is holistic. Let me give you an example. If you took a product for arthritis, would you take that same product for digestive upset, or would you take the same product for skin and coat for your dog? Well, no. You'd have a different product. So actually, you're treating the symptoms and the disease and not the whole body, which is my definition of holistic.
I see.
You treat the whole body with holistic treatments.
And what concept do you use to form this holistic approach? I mean, is it supplements? Is it food? What is it to start this process?
For us, the nutrition that you get from your everyday food has to be the foundation. I mean, if you're not getting the proper minerals and vitamins, and it doesn't have the live enzymes that your body needs, that's what nature meant for you to get. You know, the original nutrition is in food. Supplementation is something you do if you have a genetic disorder, or for some reason you're not getting the right amount of food, or you've been deficient for some time. We don't like to use supplementation unless we have to. I mean, sometimes it is critical. But we'd rather get it from whole foods and whole food products, because that's where nature designed us to get our nutrition from.
Okay. All right. And you do have a product called BioPreparation that you do use for injuries and or illnesses for pets. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. Even though it looks like a supplement, it's algae powder in a capsule. So people will open it up, take the capsule out, you know, give it to their pet. It does look like a supplement, but technically it is a whole food product. And how that's different is, if you think about it in terms of evolution, algae is the first food to form on this planet. It's a one-cell organism, and it's the first life form. Well, those little one-cell organisms were meant to be eaten by the fungus, by the bacteria, by the plants, which is the next evolutionary kingdom above that. And then, of course, herbivores will eat the plants, and that's their food, and they'll get the algae and the water and the food and the dirt and, you know, and the fungi and the bacteria. And then the next step above that are the carnivorous animals. They'll eat the herbivores and they'll eat the plants. And then finally, we are omnivores, and we will eat all the other, you know, kingdoms below us, the carnivores, the herbivores, and the plants. And believe it or not, we're supposed to eat algae. Nature meant humans to use algae as a food. And so what we're doing is we're eating these one-cell organisms as nutrition. And that's the basis.
And according to your testimonials, it works.
Oh, it does. I've seen some amazing things. We've been selling this product for about 6 years, 6, 7 years now. And I've seen some stuff that vets say, that's impossible. This is, you know, that can never happen. And we've literally had animals whose vets has, you know, suggested to the owner that they put their dog or cat down, and they're still alive today because of the super nutrition in this algae.
You were telling me when we were having lunch, you were telling me about your cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Our 17-year-old cat.
Tell the people that story real quick.
Oh, okay. This is actually how we first got introduced to this algae product. We had a 17-year-old cat that was dying of chronic renal failure, CRF. I'm sure many of your listeners are in the same position. It's very prevalent in older cats. The kidneys are failing, and they can't process fluids, and so, you know, they slowly, you know, waste away. Anyway, we were introduced to this product at a holistic trade show, and being the skeptic that I am, because I'm an engineer, it sounded like all the other products out there, you know, latest and greatest thing, the only product you'll ever need, this product heals everything, you know. I wasn't that impressed, but my wife really wanted to do something for a 17-year-old cat who was dying of CRF. So she bought a bottle, and she had me look over the literature. And I looked at the research, and according to the research, this product was experimented for over 20 years on animals. And they experimented on over 20 different species. Now, they didn't specifically experiment on dogs and cats because, you know, they're domestic. But I said, well, look, you know, it's experimented with carnivores and with herbivores. It should just work on our cat. So we gave it a try. And this is what we saw during the very first week. And keep in mind, this cat was dying of chronic renal failure. We were poking it with subcutaneous fluids twice a day. We were stuffing these homeopathic pills down the poor cat's mouth. And the cat had stopped jumping up on furniture, oh, at least 2 or 3 years prior to this because it was severely arthritic. Well, that very first week, the cat was more energetic. It started to ask to go outside more. It was more affectionate. And the most amazing thing I saw it jump up on the picnic table and walk along the porch railing outside. And this was a cat, like I said, that had not jumped up on furniture for, you know, at least 2 or 3 years. So with that amazing turnaround, we said, you know, I better look at this product a little more, and that's what got my interest.
And as a scientist, of course, you looked at it under a microscope, so to speak, and you really did, you know, disseminated what it was all about.
Exactly. You know, I looked at the manufacturer's literature, I looked at their studies, and I kind of tried to pick apart, why did this turn around our CRF cat, and can it help other dogs and cats? So, yeah, that's right. We looked at, my wife's a biologist, and I'm a geophysical engineer, and we picked it apart.
Can't beat that. Michelle, do you have any questions for Russell before we continue about his product?
No, I'm interested in it because I'm sure that Robert talked to you about our 12-year-old dog, Aneke. And he has arthritis, probably renal failure. We just haven't had that really checked out. But we had him on Rimadyl, and it made him feel worse. So after 10 days of making him feel worse, I stopped giving it to him. And, you know, amazingly, the Rimadyl actually made him feel worse, so taking him off of it made him feel a little bit better. But I'm interested in this therapy, I guess you would call it, for our dog.
We're going to try to get some of this product today.
I figured as much.
So before we start talking about canine massage, it says here in your press packet that it says Russell also combines his Eastern Oriental heritage with his Western scientific background to offer practical everyday wisdom for holistic living. So this is a process for your dog. It's just not give him a pill or a different diet and expect you know, a miracle to happen. It's really a lifestyle change. And something I've always been struggling with is accepting the lifestyle. And we talk a lot about that in dog training as well. We can teach a dog how to sit or down or whatever very easily, but you really have to change the family's lifestyle and how they handle their dogs. You know, it's a process. And I know holistic living is a process. So explain a little bit to our listeners what the process is. How much of a change is there? Is it time consuming? Is it expensive? Is it, you know, et cetera?
Well, exactly, Robert. I think you hit it on the head. It's a process and it's a lifestyle change. I mean, in our fast food society, we want to just give it a pill and make the symptoms go away. That's the typical, you know, mentality. While that's good in the short term, it doesn't work in the long term, as Michelle mentioned earlier. Yes, you can get rid of the pain with the pill, but there are side effects, and sometimes they're debilitating, and sometimes you just absolutely have to stop. Now, if you get rid of the side effects the first week and the animal or the subject is fine, that's great. But you just got to realize you have to treat it holistically by looking at the other things that you put in the animal's mouth, by the other behavioral stuff that you do, by the commands that you give the dog. It's a whole lifestyle, and that's what we look at. We look at the nutrition part. My wife looks at the structural part. We look at the food. We look at the supplements. We look at, you know, what the animal is meant to do as far as breeding goes, because that's really important. You can't expect a little toy dog to be running around all day, you know, like a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a whole lifestyle change that we look at. And I think that's where my strength actually comes in. I'm not focused just on therapy, just on treatment, just on giving a pill, but I look holistically at the whole picture. And I think that gives more permanent results. And like you say, yeah, it can be more expensive if you do the whole lifestyle, but it can be more permanent. You know, I like to see dogs and cats live to be 15 to 20 years old and still be healthy, like they did 50 years ago.
Now, would you recommend this for people, let's say, that call me up and say, I just purchased an 8-week-old puppy, and I want to make sure that I give this puppy the best lifestyle that it can have through training as well as nutrition? A lot of them will ask their vets about nutrition before they call us up and ask us, but I do have a lot of clients that ask us about nutrition, and it is something that we teach our students through our canine behavior sciences courses, is the nutrition. And I'm very interested in this, and I'm kind of upset that Robert didn't bring me along because I do the nutrition class. But I'm interested to know, I mean, I understand the benefits of this for older dogs. Now, our 12-year-old dog, Aneke, was a sled dog. He did that for 7 years. got approximately 3,000 miles on him, and then we retired him, and he pretty much became fat and happy. And that's partly why I think that he's got some of the arthritis, is because we just didn't keep up the same amount of exercise. But his nutrition also changed. He was eating what mushers really call power foods, you know, where they're called hot foods, where they're so high in proteins that it just energizes the dogs to a limit that's like a marathon runner eating power bars and stuff like that. And then he went to eating cheese with Robert, and you know, not such a great food, but I think that that's had an effect on his body for the last few years. I'm just wondering if you would recommend it for puppies as well.
Absolutely. It's not just a supplement to give arthritic older dogs.
Okay.
We feel, just like you do, Michelle, that nutrition starts at the very base beginning. And so we have a maintenance formula, and we have a therapeutic formula for older dogs. So to me, it even begins before that. Like you say, in a puppy, you have to feed the right food because the puppy's growing, its glands and organs are forming.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get the base nutrition, then you're going to have a tougher time when the dog gets older. So absolutely, begin when it's a puppy.
Yeah, and I see that actually in our German Shepherds. It's very hard to put weight on those guys. And it's not something that I'm used to, because Siberians, you give them whatever food, you know, as long as you're exercising them, they've got lean muscle mass, no problem. With German Shepherds, though, because they're so finicky in what they like to eat, it's very hard to put weight on them. My daughter's got a 15-month-old German Shepherd, and we feed him a premium food, but we're also supplementing that with canned mackerel just to give him some extra, you know, the omegas and things like that. So he's getting extra vitamins, but it's just, I'm hoping that this new lifestyle that we're going to be choosing for our dogs is going to help him get some better muscle mass.
Exactly. A lot of times these puppies, they grow up with a nutrient deficient diet, and so their glands and organs aren't operating optimally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get older, they don't have the digestive and the absorption process that quote, normal healthy dog should have. So if you start them when they're younger, and their glands and digestive tract and pancreas, which produces all the enzymes and everything, if it's allowed to, you know, fully form, you won't have that problem, and maybe they won't be as finicky as they get older.
Right. That's what I'm hoping for. And I'm very interested in hoping that you'll leave us some literature. Let us link your website. I've got lots of clients that are interested in holistic stuff. You know, they buy the organic foods and the natural foods, and I see their dogs here having health problems on the natural foods that really aren't natural. And I really wish people would give, guys like you a call and say, really, what is this? Is it natural, or am I being faked out by the label?
That's an excellent statement there, Michelle. You are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We are here with Russell Louie, founder and owner of Optimum Choices, and we are talking about holistic alternatives, nutrition, and other topics in relation to a healthy lifestyle for your pet. And with that statement, Russell, often you will have people coming in here. We do board and trains here, where people drop their dogs off for a period of time, and we train the dogs, and then we send the dogs home and train the people, so to speak. And I would say a good majority of these people are bringing in these quote-unquote natural foods, that they're getting at the Whole Foods Market or the Vitamin Cottage or whatever, and paying astronomical prices for it, sometimes $60 a bag for a bag of natural food. As an expert, what is that stuff, and why should – are people just buying that food because of the label or the store, or do most people really understand what that's all about?
That's an excellent question, Robin. You're right. It's a lot of marketing hype. I mean, people, when they see the word all natural on there, they say, oh, this is holistic. Well, we have a saying, just because it's all natural doesn't mean it's holistic. So what you have to do is you have to analyze the ingredients on the label, one, to see if it's native to the animal's diet. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, where is an animal generally going to get blueberries and
sweet potatoes.
And sweet potatoes.
I've got a food right now that's sweet potatoes. I'm like, I've never seen a dog go forage for sweet potatoes.
You know, if they're starving, if they can't get a moose or a caribou, yeah, they might dig up a root vegetable, but that's not their first choice. So here again, sweet potatoes are all natural, but it's not native to that animal's diet, so why would they use it? They're just putting it in there because it has certain nutrients that they think, you know, the animal might need, and it's cheaper than meat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it's not holistic. So that's what I look for. I look for ingredients that are native to the animal's diet and not just for the nutritional part. And I look to see that it's from a whole food or the whole food is actually in there rather than just the part, like the vitamin A or the vitamin C or whatever. And I look for something with a lot of enzymes in it. Flaxseed oil is one of the kickers that I think. So many foods have flaxseed oil in it. And flaxseed is not native to a carnivore's diet. And if you think about it, animals are meant to get their omega oils from other animals because they eat the prey. They do not eat flaxseed in it. They do not eat flax plants. So they do not have the natural enzyme to digest the cellulose and the plant material to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
So flaxseed is an inappropriate source of omega oils for a carnivore. But it's cheaper.
Of course, of course.
Much cheaper than canned mackerel, I'll tell you that.
Yes, that's right. But canned mackerel is more native
exactly.
to a dog's diet, especially you know, dogs up north, Scandinavian countries. They would eat fish. That's where they would get their natural omega oils. That's exactly right, Michelle.
Thank you.
So let's switch topics just a little bit and talk about canine massage. As a dog sledder or musher and a canine sports enthusiast, we're often having to deal with injury and pain in our dogs. And when we were talking the other day, we discussed about why we do massage. And something that was brought up was, first off, the dog can't tell you he's hurting. And, you know, he'll go out there and he'll chase after that ball or he will he'll run that last mile or whatever you're trying to do, but he cannot say, hey, boss, I'm a little hurt here. Can you help me out? Describe the process a little bit for us in terms of why we need canine massage, and is it just a luxury that that people should partake in?
Well, that's exactly right, Robert. Most people look at when we massage dogs at a dog show or an event, they say, well, my dog's spoiled, but he's not that spoiled. You know, they think it's a spa thing. And actually, dogs need therapeutic massage more than humans. And one of the reasons is what you just gave, is that the dogs, when they're hurting, they can't tell us that they hurt. I mean, if we go out and we play too much tennis or too much basketball and we can't lift our arm above our head on the Monday morning, we know that we need to get a hot pack, we need to get some Bengay, or we need to go to a massage therapist, loosen up those muscles. Well, a dog can't say that to us. You know, it's hurting, but it literally doesn't know why. It doesn't make the association that what it overdid yesterday in terms of hiking or whatever it did, fly ball, is causing the pain today. It just knows that it's in pain. And, of course, when it's in pain, it doesn't know to ask. It doesn't know its options. So you, as a dog owner, you literally need to be the eyes and the ears for the dog. But it goes even deeper than that. If you think about it, in the wild, nature breeds, in terms of evolution, for speed, for agility, and for stamina. You know, the carnivores have to catch their prey. That's what she breeds for. But today, our modern-day breeders, they breed for looks only, okay? And they breed for a dog that looks good when it goes down the few hundred feet to the end of the show ring, turns around and comes back, looks the best to the judges. And that's a far cry from what a wolf or a wild canine has to do in the wild. And so any massage therapist who's trained to look at the gait of a dog, they can look at a show dog, and they'll tell you which dogs are going to have problems later on in their life because their structure and their gait are not meant to be what nature is. And so they're going to have trouble later on in life. So that's another reason. Probably a third reason would be how packed animals act. When a packed animal is injured, it will generally hide it, the injury, because it doesn't want to appear to be the weakest among the pack. Because in some packs, a weaker animal will get left behind, will actually be killed. And so it learns to hide it. And so they're trying to do this with you. They want to please you as an owner. So if it has an injury, it's not going to come out and show it to you. It's not going to come out and tell you. So it's trying to hide it.
I agree. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a break real quick and come back with Russell Louie and Optimum Choices.
Isn't it finally time to get your dog under control? Aggression and behavior problems need to be handled the right way. At Denver Dog Works Professional Canine Behavior Center, we have knowledgeable, skilled, and friendly instructors. We're convenient. Our training classes are available Monday through Friday evenings and Saturday afternoons. Private lessons can be scheduled to fit your timetable.
We are back. Pardon me for our commercial. We slipped up a little bit. We are here with Russell Louie, owner and operator of Optimum Choices. Russell, we're talking about canine massage. Let's dive back into that topic.
Well, like I said before, it's the pack instinct to hide injuries that doesn't allow a dog to come out and say, hey, I'm hurt here, you know, I'm limping here. So it doesn't know what to do. So we have to be the eyes and the ears, and we have to recognize that, you know, our dog's walking funny, that it's what it's doing is not normal, or that it's very subdued. That's another clue. If a dog is subdued and doesn't have the energy that it used to have. So with those clues, we need to start asking ourselves and observing the dog, what's different about it? What did I do this past weekend or this other day that possibly could cause a muscular injury or you know, some strain, and you know, what methods can I take?
And your wife is the massage, is it a therapist?
Well, actually, technically, we can't call her a therapist because that's a medical term. So we call them canine massage providers.
Okay, all right. And what is the process? How does this work? I mean, do you just take your dog in? Is it like a human massage? Do you just take your dog in and, you know, pretty much take a number at the counter and they give your dog a massage, or is it, explain the process a bit.
It's somewhat like a human massage therapist. When you go in for the very first time, they ask you all kinds of questions. Why did you come in? What's your reason for doing this? Where does it hurt? And they take an evaluation. They look at you structurally. They have you stand up and they have you sit down and they look at how you're functioning. And then they determine what muscle groups need massaging. Where on the body are you tighter? Where are you more looser? Are you favoring the left side? Are you favoring the right side? And they might even ask you about your diet. You know, what are you eating and what are your health challenges? Are you taking any food supplements at this time? They'll ask you all those questions. Well, that's what my wife would do for an animal. She'll ask, what type of food are you feeding? Are you feeding dry kibble? Are you feeding canned food? Are you feeding raw food? Are you currently giving any supplements? Of course, are you taking any giving any medication to the dog? And then, you know, she will look at the dog and ask the owner to have the dog go up and down, up and down. And she'll observe the gait. And that's the critical key. Is the dog walking in terms of its own structure, like the breed should? And that gives her clues as to what is out of balance, whether the dog's favoring one side or the other, and how to approach the dog.
And as Michelle asked earlier, is this good for dogs that aren't necessarily in pain? You know, people go to massages not just because they're in pain, but because it loosens them up. It makes them feel good. It gives them that balance. Is this an appropriate reason for canine massage as well?
Absolutely. Especially older dogs. Even if they don't have an injury, a physical injury, you want to keep the circulation going. You want to keep the lymphatic fluids moving. You want to keep them flexible. And most of all, you want to keep their range of motion good so that they don't just close down as they get older, you know, from arthritic pain. Because if you don't do anything, the range of motion is going to get less and less and less as the animal gets older, and then you will have a problem. So it's very good for maintenance for older animals, yes.
Can you start that at any age for the dog?
It's actually better that you do, because you get the animals used to being touched by a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the massage provider will kind of move the muscles in a way that, you know, normally an owner or a vet wouldn't do. And it's kind of strange for the animal at first. But after a few times, as the animal gets to know the person, the provider, it will get to understand that, oh, you're just moving at certain amounts, and, oh, I'm going to feel good later. And, you know, the massage provider will soothe the dog with the other hand, kind of a petting-type motion, and the dog will get used to it, and most dogs will fall asleep.
Right. I ask because we have a client that brings their dog to us whenever they go out of town, and she's been coming here for 16 years. She is very sweet, but she is very, very frail. I'm not saying she's weak anymore. She's just very frail. By no means is Sydney suffering. A lot of people would think, oh, my God, look at that dog. She's suffering. She's not. She's still very lucid. She can get herself out of the kennel. She just can't walk hardly at all anymore. I literally, when she's here, I carry her now. I carry her out to the outside to use the restroom, and I carry her back in. And this is a German Shepherd, so she's sweet, and I'll do anything for her, but I don't know if this would help her at this point in her life. She's got no muscle mass left whatsoever.
I believe it would. I mean, it's hard to get muscle mass back, mm-hmm. but if you can increase the range of motion, if you can increase the circulation, if you can get the lymphatic fluids to drain the toxins and the waste that are being produced, that are actually accumulating now in these older animals, she could have a better range of motion. She might be appear more energetic, more willing to get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the thing, because right now, every movement in her body hurts her.
Exactly, and it appears to hurt her. I describe her as looking like an elderly lady with osteoporosis. I mean, she's got curvature of her spine and everything, but you know, she's quite a character. She was walking around in the kennel with me the other day with no of the other dogs in the kennel, and she was doing her little alpha thing, drinking everybody's water and thinking that she was running the place. So she's still a lot of fun. I'm wanting to pass along your information to her owner so that they can think of making her life a little easier.
Yes, massage would improve the quality of life for an elderly dog like that.
Cool. Very cool.
What about dogs that are aggressive? Can these types of we deal with a lot of aggressive dogs here. We receive a lot of referrals from other trainers that don't want to work with these dogs because they can't be handled.
As well as veterinarians.
As well as veterinarians. How does your business handle that type of thing if this dog truly needs some type of a therapeutic approach such as massage?
This is where we get into the holistic approach, because even, you know, a massage provider would have a difficult time with an aggressive dog. I mean, they're also trained to handle dogs like that, but there's only so much you can do because it's a stranger and, you know, doesn't want to be touched. So we would holistically look at other things like flower remedies, like homeopathic remedies, and, of course, nutrition. We absolutely would go and look at the nutritional part of the animal's diet, the food, what it's feeding, and any type of supplements. Because if you think about it, the glands and the hormones are most connected to the emotions. If they are not balanced, the dog could have a lot of fear, could be highly reactive, and could be aggressive because of that. We've seen a lot of fear and aggressive dogs calm down when the nutrition is balanced and taken care of.
And we're going to talk about that here a little bit later. In terms of working this holistic approach with aggression and whatnot, my next set of questions is, how do you select an appropriate canine massage provider? Do you just look on the internet or the yellow pages, or do people hang out shingles and say they're canine massage therapists, or what's the process there, Russell?
Well, it's kind of more challenging than with human massage therapists because, no, they're not on every corner. They're not in every chiropractor's office. There is an association in Colorado here, for those who are local, the Colorado Association of Animal Massage and Body Workers. It's called CAM, and Margaret is the co-founder, and I guess, I don't know if they have officers, but she might be called the president. Anyway, it's here in Colorado. You can go to our website, www.optimumchoices.com, and look under information and then organizations, and they're listed there. But you could look for professional organizations like that, and they generally have a directory. There's also the International Association of Animal and Massage and Body Workers, and they also have a directory. So basically, you would look for somebody who's certified, who did go to school, because, I mean, anybody can take a weekend course or a week course and say, yeah, I'm certified in massage, you know, practice. But it really takes an extensive education. You have to learn about the anatomy, the structure, and nutrition, as well as the individual muscles on a canine. And my wife went to the Lang Institute up in Loveland here, and she had, I think, 780 hours of massage instruction in order to get certified.
Now, you wouldn't just have your regular run-of-the-mill massage therapist that works on humans work on your dog.
Generally not. I mean, if it's just kind of a Swedish type of relaxation, yeah, that might be appropriate. But dogs actually have different muscles, and they function in a different way. And so in traditional canine massage schools, they actually teach you that anatomy.
Right. There's different physiology and things involved, and that's what I want people to understand, that they're hearing this and they're thinking, hey, I have a massage therapist. I'll just throw my dog up on his table and he can work my dog. I don't want people to make that mistake.
If it's just something, you know, relaxation, if just, you know, a half hour to relax a dog, it probably couldn't hurt. But no, if you want something therapeutic and you've got specific issues, I would highly recommend you find somebody who's actually been trained in canine anatomy. Yes, I would, Michelle.
Very good, very good.
And you say in your literature to ask the different types of massage. And you mentioned here, and you just talked about Swedish massage. What are the other types?
Well, there's deep tissue massage. My wife, of course, would be the expert on this. And there's also functional range of motion types of massage, flexibility types of massage. It depends on what the animal needs, essentially. And again, like Michelle pointed out, a human massage therapist would not be schooled on identifying the different types that the dog would need.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a canine massage provider would be educated in that, and they can actually tell, well, this animal needs this. Or, well, no, I can't work too deep on this animal now. Why don't we just do, you know, the surface stuff, trying to get the animal used to me, and maybe in the next session I can get to the point of interest for the massage. And a canine massage provider would understand that, whereas a human massage therapist wouldn't.
Absolutely. I agree.
Most pet owners don't know anything about this. If they haven't seen it on Animal Planet or they've read about it on the Internet, they don't know anything about massage.
Or let's just put it out there. If Caesar didn't talk about it, nobody knows about it.
I agree. How does the lay public, just the normal public that is not educated about this, how do they find a provider do they go to their local vet? Do the vets know these massage providers? You know, what would be a process for, you know, Joe Smith and Max, his dog, if he wanted to seek out this massage?
Unfortunately, a lot of vets don't know about it. I mean, some massage providers have an association with the vet, and they do get referrals, but that's not very common. It really isn't. So you'd have to go on the web, because actually that's probably the best form of media for canine massage providers, because like you say, they can't hang out a shingle. They don't advertise in Yellow Pages because it's just not a listing for them. So that would be the best way. Just, you know, what they say is Google it. Go on the Internet and say canine massage and, you know, Google the city that you're in and look to see what's out there.
Are you affiliated with any vets here in Colorado?
We particularly aren't, no.
Okay.
It's very hard to get into them and educate
Tell
them.
Tell me about it. We have the same problem.
they don't understand why it's therapeutic.
Well, they don't, and they also don't understand why an animal behaviorist can work hand-in-hand with them to help the betterment of the dog. And you know, I think that the three of us, I mean, your logo is a triangle, and I really think that it's right there. I mean, you've got your vet provide this, you know, particular thing for your dog, but then you've got your trainer and your behaviorist that provides something else, you know, and you're right there with it. I mean, it really connects everything together, and I think that people, they want to do all these fabulous things for their dogs, you know, but they're doing it in a way that is demoralizing what the dog really is, or the cat really is. You know, we shouldn't be putting clothing on them and carrying them around in bags. They have feet for a reason. But, you know, it's just that I would really, really like to see people implore the healthy lifestyles that they have for themselves with their dogs, but doing it correctly, not just doing this backyard stuff.
Well, exactly. They're taking more of an allopathic approach. You know, they're doing it piecemeal, by just taking care of this symptom, that symptom, and not looking holistically. And that's exactly the motivation behind our logo, as you pointed out. Everything has a trilogy there, but everything is holistic. You have to look at all three points of the triangle, not just a single point of a pill to get rid of this symptom.
Exactly. And I think that people are doing the same thing with the green campaign right now, too, is they think, well, I bought that light bulb that works, you know, to save the planet. That was good enough. And it's really not. I really want people to get out there on your website and learn about this. You know, even if we're not in your area, get out there and learn about it and find somebody that is in your area. Again, we're on the web, so people are listening to us all the way in New Zealand. So,
well, that's great.
Yeah.
Our website is a wealth of holistic information. I think my wife posted her article, How to Search for a Canine Massage Provider, up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can read about it. There's an article about what canine massage therapy is and what we offer. And that's, you can use that for, you know, everybody else, too, no matter where you're located.
Is there a problem with the owner just doing some of it? I mean, is there more harm than good? If you see that your dog is lame or limping and, you know, you read about it on the Internet, of course you can learn everything on the Internet. So, you know, they figure out where the muscle groups are in the upper leg, and they work this out on the dog. Is that wise advice to do that or not?
Probably not, because there is potential that if you try and work a muscle group in an inappropriate way or an inappropriate direction, you can cause further damage. So you have to know what direction to work in, and you have to know the sequence of the muscle group. So I would say if you just want to increase circulation, if you just want to relax that muscle, you know, and do a Swedish, a flowing type of surface type massage, that would probably be okay. If you want to do anything else, it's much better to go to a trained person who has studied the anatomy. I mean, it's the same thing like you. I mean, if your shoulder hurts and your wife wants to give you a, you know, back or shoulder massage, that's great. But if you want her to loosen it up so you can lift your arm above your head, that's going to require technical expertise.
Yeah, usually I just do the, yeah, it feels tight, and maybe you should go see somebody.
Yeah.
In terms of going and seeing somebody, people always ask, what does this cost? I know that you are in a different market than a lot of people are listening, but what is kind of the range of pricing for a canine massage?
The range of prices probably will be about $45 to maybe $75 or $85, depending on the location. Obviously, in L.A., it's going to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on whether it's on-site, whether you bring the dog to us or we go to you. A lot of times, it's more appropriate for us to go to the dog because the dog doesn't travel well in the car, but this dog is too old for whatever reason. So that's about the range, from about $45 to about $75, $80.
That's not bad.
Same as for humans, right?
same as for humans. You know, people always balk at pricing, especially in today's economy. They think that, oh, my goodness, $80 or $45 or whatever is outrageous. But it's all about quality of life. And that's what is important. We are here with Russell Louie, owner of Optimum Choices. We are talking about holistic alternatives and canine massage. And we're going to talk about a topic right now that is what we deal with every day, canine aggression. And when Russell and I were talking earlier this week, we had a kind of a game plan in terms of the process of how this interview was going to go. And we went a little bit backwards, and we talked about the supplements first, and then we talked about massage, and then we were going to talk about aggression and tying it all together. So let's tie this together, Russell. How can this work with a dog that is ready just to tear your head off?
Okay. Let me give you a cute story, and this is what brought it to my attention. We had a dog owner who purchased a nutritional product for some other reason. I forget what it was. It might have been, you know, IBD or digestive problems or something, joint problems, whatever. And she wrote us a testimony, and she sent it in, and she said, you know, I bought it for this, and this condition is improving, but that's not the most amazing benefit that I've noticed. She said the most amazing benefit is this dog was so fearful that when a thunderstorm came, he would literally hide under the bed and stay there for 3 to 4 hours after the thunderstorm had passed. And right now, within 20 minutes after the thunderstorm has passed, he gets up and is fine. So it literally recovers from the trauma of a thunderstorm much more quickly after taking this nutritional product. And so she says, well, could this product do it? You know, I bought it for this IBD symptom or this flexibility problem. And I said, sure. When you look at it holistically, like I said before, when the glands and organs are balanced and there is, you know, you're getting rid of any type of inflammation, you're getting rid of any type of pain that the animal might have, which could be hidden. When all that's done, then you know that the glands and organs are functioning properly. And when they are, well, then they will not be as reactive or as fearful. And that's what we're seeing in this animal right here, is that, you know, it has less fear from the thunderstorms. Now, just getting back to your point, we had another animal owner who could hardly take their dog on a walk. Because every time he would pass the path and another dog on the other side, he would growl and snarl and be so reactive. And this is probably a common thing among your clients. And so you're wondering, well, yeah, you could do a little bit of training and stuff. But this owner says, you know, I've noticed the same thing in my animal, that its fear and its aggressive, you know, tendencies were less after we gave you a nutritional product. And they gave it for a digestive problem, you know, totally unrelated to fear and aggression. But she says she can now walk her dog beside another animal, and with a little hand motion or with a little command, the dog will sit and will not be as aggressive towards the other dogs. And she's not afraid now to take her dog walking. Now, I'm not a vet, so I can't answer the reason why the dog's not as reactive. There might have been a specific things with the glands, specific things with the organ. I don't know. And, you know, you don't want to do lab tests because those are expensive. But I can say, you know, the dog is getting, you know, almost 100% of its nutrition that it needs. It's getting all the enzymes that it needs. It's getting all the amino acids that it needs. And with all that, with the omega oils and the vitamins, you know the dog's, you know, glands and organs are functioning. And so, yeah, the dog's less reactive right now. And it was a wonderful side benefit.
Sounds like a miracle.
Well, I wouldn't quite go that far, but the owner would. I'll tell you, the owner is so happy.
Well, you know, with Dr. Forto, he gets a lot of calls from aggressive clients, and he's always asked, can I put my dog on medication? Can I medicate this out of my dog? And we always recommend that, no, you do some training first. We try to get them to, you know, show us the food that they're feeding their dogs. And things like that, really trying to get to the underlying problem other than, well, my dog just doesn't like other dogs. There's always something else going on. There's always something else that has happened in the past traumatically to the dog, or it could simply be the nutrition. And I'm glad that we're talking about that, because what I'm trying to say is that gives us a whole new realm to delve into as far as our aggressive clients are concerned, because it could simply just mean that the dog is starving for the right type of nutrition.
Right type, and exactly. I would even look at the food first before trying to give it a pill, whether it's a drug or a supplement. Always look at the general diet. What are you doing? Are you feeding the same food every day? Are you feeding the same brand every day? Does it have the right omega oils in it? Does it have enough enzymes in it for the dog to function? Because if the nervous system can't function properly and it's either misfiring or overly aggressively firing, you will have certain traits, you know, come out.
So what should these people be looking for? If they're going to their local pet food store or the internet or whatever, and they want to start this process, and, you know, they know what they're feeding now, and they think that it's pretty good because they either read the label or have watched the commercial.
Or they're paying $60 a bag.
Or they're paying $60 a bag. What are you looking for? If you're picking up a bag of dog food or, you know, a can of food, what are you looking for exactly?
I would look for ingredients that are most appropriate for a carnivore in the wild. And from my holistic perspective, any dry kibble is not what an animal would get in the wild. I mean, a typical dry kibble today is anywhere from 20 to 80% carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
And nature says, the biologists tell us, nature says that carnivores in the wild get 60 to 80% meat in their diet, meat protein in their diet. And so dry kibble is just inappropriate as far as I'm concerned. We would prefer a premium canned food diet, or even better, a raw food diet. And we've seen a lot of behavioral problems actually change with just changing the diet without giving a supplement, without giving drugs, just changing the diet more to the species-appropriate diet that dog would get. The behavior problems go away.
Well, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, because I know I'm going to get some of these responses over email. Our dogs today are no longer wild. They're an entirely different species now, is what the comments are going to be saying.
Because please understand, we have fed puppies a raw diet before and had very successful results from it.
So how would you counter that attack by somebody sending you a comment, well, my dog is no longer a wild species and needs 80% protein or whatever numbers that you come up with? How would you counter that, Russell?
Well, just looking at the outer animal, they're probably right. It doesn't look anything like that wild wolf that it, you know, was genetically from. But the digestive tract has not changed. That's the key. The digestive tract has not changed, and they don't breed for a proper digestion. They breed for proper looks. So even though you've changed the outer looks, you haven't changed the inside. Okay, that's the key. The other key is look at the dog's teeth. You can tell what an animal is meant to be eating by looking at the teeth. Carnivores have long, pointy teeth. They're meant for tearing their prey and swallowing the meat whole. Herbivores have flat teeth. They're meant for chewing like a cow, okay? If you look at our teeth, we have both. We have flat teeth in the back for chewing, and we have pointy teeth, actually dog teeth, canine teeth in the front for tearing. So we're omnivores. Look at a dog's teeth. They have very few flat teeth in the back. They are not meant to eat carbohydrates and grains and plants.
And crunchy kibble.
Crunchy kibble, exactly.
I just keep thinking about that movie, Super Size Me.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did.
I forget his name, but
Michael Moore.
Was that who it was? And he
was
ate.
That's who did the documentary on it.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Okay.
And he ate McDonald's every meal for a month or whatever.
An experiment. Boy, did it go awry.
And he dang near died.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's all about balancing the system in terms of nutrition and everything else. And I remember watching that movie about how his blood pressure was elevated and, you know, his cholesterol was off the charts. And that was just from eating McDonald's. No disrespect to McDonald's. We went there the other day. But it is all about nutrition. So we have a couple of minutes left, Russell. How do people get in contact with you? What do you want to leave the audience with? Just take a few minutes and wrap this up.
Well, if they want to go to our website, it's www.optimumchoices.com. There's a wealth of information there. We have a monthly holistic e-newsletter. We write about a holistic topic every month. And we have articles that, such as, is glucosamine the answer for arthritis? How to get pure water for your dog? What do you do if your dog's, you know, aggressive and things like that? We also have a list of practitioners for massage and body workers. We have a list of holistic vets in the Denver area. And we have a lot of links to professional organizations where they can go to that organization, look in the directory, type in their zip code, and find if there's a practitioner. If they're local, our number is 303-271-1649. Or if they're not local, we have a toll-free number, 866-305-2306. But again, the best way, since we're an internet company, is go to our website, www.optimumchoices.com.
And we'll have a link on the Dog Doctor Radio Show as well as on our Denver Dog Works websites.
Yeah, we'll put those links up. But if not today, they will be up on Monday to be able to get in contact with Russell and his business, Optimum Choices. Russell, it was an excellent interview. You gave a wealth of advice in terms of just that holistic approach to animal medicine. But something that we did not mention, and I know we just have a couple of minutes, is does this work on other animals besides dogs and cats? I mean, can we work on horses and ferrets and other sorts of things? Or
No, certainly. The actual animal research was done in 20 different species. But again, if you think in terms of evolution, algae is the first food and first organism to form on this planet. So every higher kingdom, from the plants to the herbivores to the carnivores to the omnivores like us, are meant to get algae. So algae is native to all animals' diet, and yes, we've used it on ducks and frogs and geese and rabbits and ferrets and mice. We even had a turtle with a respiratory infection.
Very cool.
Any living thing.
It's great. I don't know if we can call it a miracle cure or what, but let's keep this discussion alive. You can always reach us on Facebook, Twitter, yourbrandplan.com/forums. You can reach us anytime at denverdogworks.com. My name is Dr. Robert Forto. This is the Dog Doctor Radio Show coming to you live from Denver Dog Works. where we have the best and train the rest. We'll see you next week at the Furry Scurry, Washington Park in Denver, Colorado. Come to the booth and be on the show. Never forget your dreams. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Bye.